Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On today's episode of the Bolds Broadcast, let the backup tendy competition begin. Stay tuned. Season 4, episode 60 of the Bolts Broadcast. Mike Mitchelson and Chase Groshaw with you today. Chase, how are you on this lovely Wednesday afternoon?
I'm doing all right. Had better days, had work days. But on the bright side, it's pretty nice out. Sun's shining. Not too breezy. Weather's pretty good. So we can go out in shorts. Don't have to freeze. Don't have to sweat. You know, just one of those very good weather days. How about you?
It is beautiful out today down here in Indy. However, haven't really been able to experience it much. Worked from home today instead of going into the office. Have some weird issue going on with the old foot. I'm not sure if I like sprained it or if just because I've been trying to be more active, it's just maybe not as used to it. I'm not really sure, but hurts like a motherfucker to walk on.
Are you going to go get it looked at down there, or are you just gonna vibe through it?
Why would I get it looked at? That's stupid.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Like, who
yeah,
is this guy?
No, don't
think
care of your body. It's fine.
No.
Yeah, what? No, that's on me. That's my bad.
Thank you. I mean, there's no bruising right now. It just hurts. So I figure if it still hurts and, you know, a month from now, then maybe that's when I go look at it.
That's exactly what I knew you were going to say a fucking month.
So, yeah, it was a work-from-home day, and the roommate's heading out to the gym right now all sad because I can't spot him. So when he can't get the 25 pounds up, he's going to struggle.
Dylan is catching absolute strays when he's never even going to listen to the show. So
good. He's staring right at me. That's why I'm doing it.
That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. But on today's episode of the Bolts Broadcast, going to be talking a little backup goalie competition with the Tampa Bay Lightning as they brought in a new goaltender that could possibly fight for that spot. We'll look at the current playoff. What would you call it? Not rankings.
Picture?
It's just sure. Playoff picture playoff. And, you know, the series and how they're panning out so far. And then after the commercial break, talking about Gabe Landeskog. And then, of course, the NHL draft lottery, which I know Chase is excited to get to. So we'll have a good time with that.
Oh, yeah. But
let's start with that backup goaltending situation. First up, we bring in Matt Tompkins.
Yeah, so the Tampa Bay Lightning have signed goaltender Matt Tompkins to a two-year, two-way deal. And a little bit random. So Tompkins was on the Olympic team in the 21-22 season, which, of course, did not feature NHL players, but he played very well in those Olympics and spending the last 2 years over in the Swedish league. Was originally a Blackhawks pick, seventh round, 2012, never played any NHL games. Played a little bit between the American League and the East Coast League. Prior to that, played at Ohio State. So he's a 94 birth year, 29 years old. By the start of next season, doesn't have any NHL experience. So it'll be interesting to see. There's been guys like this in the past, but usually those guys are, you know, native Europeans that just finally came over from their country. Whereas, you know, Matt, he's someone that has spent some time in North America because he is a Canadian, obviously, and has only been overseas for 2 years. So is he going to come and take the backup job? I don't know. I really hope that they're not signing just him and saying he's the backup, let's go. I hope that they still bring in one more, even if it is a like borderline guy in the offseason, and see who wins the job. But if you're just trusting him to be the backup, we've seen these types of moves backfire pretty quickly. So we'll see. But he does have a good track record over in Europe. He had a very good Olympics. So I think he'll at least put up a good fight.
Yeah, and I think at the very least, it needs to be a competition from within with the guys we have right now. I agree. I think best case scenario, we go out, grab more competition for this backup position, because right now we know Brian Elliott, he really struggled this year. His contract is up this offseason, likely not to be re-signed based on his performance this past season, a 3-4 goals against and an 8.91 save percentage. He really struggled, really showed his 38-year-old kind of age there. So when you look at the goaltenders currently in the system, obviously Matt Tompkins, Chase just mentioned, he's played well overseas, had a 9.11 save percentage in the SHL this year, played well in the Olympics. You've also got Hugo Onnefeldt, one of the young guns. He's been playing in Syracuse, a 9.04 save percentage this year. Nick Malik, another young gun. I'm not really sure he is ready to take that step into a backup role. And then finally, the last goalie that you could keep your eye out for, Max Legacy. He had the majority of the games played this year in the AHL. He was the starter for the majority of the time, but he didn't necessarily perform great. So those three names, really, Tompkins, Onnefeldt, Legacy, I think those are the three that right now would head into that competition, but I would like to see someone else get moved into that.
Yeah, so starting with Nick Malik, he's someone that I saw pretty close in person over in the OHL. He's the kid, the son of Monik Malik, who was a decent tenured NHL defenseman, but like Nick's probably just never that guy. I watching him play, he never really did it for me, so I don't think he's ever gonna be that guy. So he's not really in the mix. When it comes to the others, if I had to guess, the best, they'll probably give the best odds of the in-house person other than Matt Tompkins, who Hugh Onnefeldt, someone that they spent draft capital on, someone that they've been developing, probably give him that chance. But I still expect one more to be signed, probably someone who's, mid to late 20s, maybe early 30s, who has NHL experience, they can come into backup. But we'll see. Maybe even if it is a guy just like, not Andrew Hammond, but someone that's in that Andrew Hammond category where, like, they're not really a full-time NHLer, but they could go out and have some success. That's the type of guy I'm expecting them to sign. So there'll be a little bit of a battle, but I wouldn't expect it to be like, super riveting or exciting by any means.
Yeah, and it'd be cool to see Onnefeldt actually come in here and be that backup. But at the same time, only 21 years old, I'm not super excited per se to see him come up and potentially have a bad start to his young career. Obviously, you want those guys to get a good start and get that confidence up, because if you derail a goalie's confidence, it could be real trouble. And he played decently in the AHL this year. Would like to really see him dominate an AHL season before we see him come up as a full-time backup for Andrei Vasilevskiy.
Yeah, I'm in the exact same boat, and it's exactly why I think one more is coming in. So it'd be cool if he can get the majority next year, but it's kind of dependent on him at this point. If he takes that step, then he will. But if he doesn't take that step, then I think the writing's on the wall at that point. It's probably not getting any further within the organization.
Absolutely. All right, let's take a look at the current playoff picture. Well, by the time you guys hear this, we might have an Eastern Conference finalist, as the Florida Panthers up 3-0 over the Toronto Maple Leafs right now. They play tonight. Obviously, we don't know who's won that yet, but you guys might be seeing little brother in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, man, wouldn't that be something? It's shocking, because I thought that if Toronto won the series against us, which obviously they did, and Boston, since they lost, I figured that Toronto was just going to go on a run and at least get to the finals. But I guess it's not meant to be. And there's always a chance they can come back and, get the reverse sweep. It's happened before. Doesn't happen a lot, because it's just so hard to do. It's really hard to win that many games in a row after you're already down a bunch. Morale's kind of low and the other team's feeling super high. So it's definitely difficult to do, but it is possible. Am I gonna bank on that happening? Probably not. But they could squeak out a win, Toronto, in the next game, maybe even two. But It would be something to see Florida get the sweep after Toronto fans just went nuts and all the Leafs players were getting drunk after winning against us. It would be kind of funny to watch Florida win.
Yeah, karma's a bitch, eh? It's funny. Big brother's out of the picture. Little brother steps up, becomes the man of the state, I guess, and potentially could be headed to the Eastern Conference Finals. And we were critical of the Panthers. We thought they had a very solid team last year. However, they could not get past our Tampa Bay Lightning. And then in the offseason, they go trade Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar for Matthew Tkachuk. And Matthew Tkachuk's a great player. But so were Mackenzie Weegar and Jonathan Huberdeau. We thought there's no way that works out for Florida. Sure enough, Matthew Tkachuk has been an absolute demon in these playoffs and a demon for the Panthers overall.
He's just killing it. The one game, I don't remember which one it was, he had 9 hits in the game. Just unbelievable. But really, he's been such a good fit for that team. And, you know, I'm a fan of Jonathan Huberdeau. I love Mackenzie Weaver. I think he's just, you know, incredibly underrated. He's finally getting that recognition over the last couple of years. But for a long time, he was underrated. But Matthew Tkachuk, I mean, this guy's the ultimate playoff player. Like, the way he plays is what you want out of your playoff performers. And sure enough, you know, he's playing to kind of those expectations. He fills every role that you need out of, you know, someone that you're expecting to be a leader, someone you're expecting to score, someone you're expecting to, you know, get gritty. Like, he does it all. He draws penalties. He just, like, if every team had, like, or I should say, how I should put it this way, every team wants a Matthew Tkachuk when they're going into the playoffs because it just brings a whole new element to your team. And he really could be the X factor going forward the rest of this way.
And I'm starting to think that the comparison on draft night was spot on because Rob Gronkowski, or no, it was J.J. Watt, wasn't it?
Yes.
Either way, both Rob Gronkowski, J.J. Watt, Matthew Tkachuk, all three of them, huge primetime players, huge clutch players. J.J. Watt, when him and the Texans were able to make the playoffs multiple years in a row in the early 2010s and consistently eliminated my Cincinnati Bengals, obviously he performed huge. And we see the same with Matthew Tkachuk right now, playing absolutely tremendous in the playoffs up to this point. All right, let's look at the Golden Knights and the Edmonton Oilers. The Knights are up 2-1, and it's starting to get concerning for McDavid, Draisaitl, and the rest of the players that aren't really there, to be fair. But nonetheless, this Vegas team has looked really good.
They absolutely have, and you know, it's definitely like a fun series. I'm really enjoying this one, but Vegas, they kind of rolled the last game, so it'll be an interesting bounce back to kind of see from Edmonton. I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to come back in a big way. Maybe, you know, I shouldn't say in a big way. I guess I think they're going to come back and, you know, put up a pretty good fight. If I had to guess, they end up coming out with this game. Maybe they win big. Maybe it's a good battle. I don't know, but you know, I'm saying this is at least a 5+ goal game for Edmonton. I think they're gonna come out, you know, just absolutely guns blazing, kind of see what they can do against Vegas. But this is, you know, the one that I'm really looking forward to tuning into. Really tonight's slate, just in general. Hopefully all the listeners tuned in because by the time it's released, obviously the games will be done. But it's a really good combo of games just based on that Vegas Edmonton series being so exciting. In Florida, Toronto, looking at, you know, a potential series-ending game. So hopefully you guys have tuned in and really enjoyed it because I think we're going to get a hell of a game in this Edmonton-Vegas one.
Yeah, and it's one of those matchups where you kind of overlook some of the other storylines. Obviously, McDavid, Draisaitl being some of the best players in the world. One storyline I just completely forgot about until recently was McDavid versus Eichel. I mean, those two were the top dogs coming into the 2015 draft. It was pretty unanimous. McDavid was that guy, but Jack Eichel, he had some real fans out there. There were people out there that preferred him. Not many, but there were some, and they get to go at it. And it really hasn't been fair since Eichel's injuries and everything, but he's still been a talented player, still been a productive player for that team. So if him and Vegas get a one-up on Edmonton, I'm sure there's going to be people talking about it.
Oh, yeah, for sure there is. And it's a similar battle to what we got with Crosby and Ovechkin and a similar battle to what we might get here with Connor Bedard and Anna Fantilli in the future. We'll talk about that at the latter half of the show. But it's that type of thing where it's two high-end players, you know, right now, like the other two, like not the Crosby Ovechkin ones, they're from different drafts, but the other two from the same draft, but still two high-end players that could be regarded as, you know, like top of their sports or just, you know, regarded as these top of their draft classes for these other two. And just kind of going back and forth, making for exciting series like within the conference. So I'm really looking forward to it to kind of see if, you know, Jack Eichel, who's really compared expectations, has underwhelmed his NHL career. Part of it because of injuries, you know, part of it is because like he just hasn't produced. It's a little bit of both. But if he can kind of turn it on and step up and beat McDavid in this one, that'll be a soul crusher to the Oilers, first of all. The Oilers fans, like that would just be a killer. And then it would just kind of be Jack Eichel, you know, getting able to kind of big schlong him, saying, yeah, look who can win when it matters.
Yeah, and then we move on to one of the more disappointing series of the second round, that being the Hurricanes and the Devils. You would expect that these two very high-power offenses to score a lot, but at the same time, the closest game we've had was a four-point difference when New Jersey had their only win 8-4. Other than that, we've seen 6-1 victories by Carolina. I think their first one was a 5-1 victory, so that's another four-pointer, but these games haven't been close, and unfortunately, well, I mean, I don't really have a dog in this fight. I like both teams, but Carolina has come out on top more than New Jersey has.
Yeah, and I'd rather see New Jersey win, but like, if Carolina wins, whatever, it is what it is. But it's been a really strange series. I might slam the under on this one because it's probably going to be set relatively high, just because of how this series went. I think New Jersey actually does squeak out this win, extend it to at least six, and I think it's going to be kind of a close battle, maybe because maybe not because of the goaltending play, but maybe just because the guys aren't scoring. But there's always kind of yin and yang to it. I mean, even in that Pittsburgh-Philly series all those years ago, where scores were like 10-7, 9-8, there was still like a 3-2 game in there. So if that's going to happen to this one, I'm calling it this game. So bet the under for all my sports bettors out there. But I just hope this one's just like a closer game, because even though goals are fun, it's not fun watching teams lose by 4+.
Yeah, in playoff hockey, you need close games to keep up the tension and really have the best experience, and we haven't gotten that whatsoever out of the Devils and Hurricanes. And then when we look at the Kraken and the Stars, we've got a 2-2 series. The first two games were close, but the last two, not really. We saw the Kraken actually smoke the Stars in game three. I think it was 7-2. And then last night, the Stars beat the Kraken like 6-3. So the last two games haven't been close. The first two have. What are we looking at for the future of this series?
You know, that one's going to be interesting, because it really has been a couple, you know, really, really big wins as well. Like, you know, started out close and a couple of big wins. I think with how much trading off there is, it's still going to be a close series. Regardless, this one, I can kind of see it going to seven. Whether there's another blowout or two, I don't know. But I do think it's going the distance. And it's two teams that I'm rooting for regardless. Whoever moves on, it's a team I'm rooting for. It'll be fun. But I really don't know who I'd say has the advantage in this one. Because you'd say after that, you know, 7-2 win for Seattle, they only have like 25 shots a net or something. So like, it's like, okay, you know, they're finally back in the net. This seems pretty convincing. But then when you let up six the next game, it's like, okay, now I don't know what the hell to think. It's definitely a confusing one, where I truly think any team can win on any given night in this one. And any team could obviously score six goals in any given night. I don't expect it to be that high octane offense going forward. I think it'll definitely slow down. Maybe all three of these last three games, I don't know, but it should definitely go down to the wire.
Yeah, and the NHL playoffs and the NHL as a whole is a very game by game basis. I mean, you look at Boston, they were unbelievable throughout the regular season, unbelievable through the start of the playoffs, and then they kind of just crumbled as they hit the midpoint of round one. When you look at the teams remaining right now, which potentially there's only seven after tonight, we'll see, is there any team right now that is really caught your eye, has really impressed you, and you're thinking, man, this might be the team that goes all the way? Or are we looking at the Carolina Hurricanes and looking at the Florida Panthers and going, well, the competition, I feel like they're lacking right now. Sure, they're winning big games, but the competition isn't there. Maybe Vegas is looking better. Any team that's sticking out to you?
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
But in all reality, like, Yeah, they, you know, we're looking at potentially a sweep, potentially a five-game series win. But when I watch these teams play, I don't like, oh, they're a front runner. They're the team to beat. You know, like, I don't think they have any of these teams. I think all of them can go on and win. I don't say there's a clear-cut favorite for me. Like, I really don't have, you know, any expectation to lean one way or the other. I could really see any of these remaining teams truly winning it.
Yeah, I hate to say it. I don't know if I can see the Kraken winning. They've been playing great so far, but I feel like they're just not quite there. But who knows? We'll see. If they go on and win it all, that I would love that. Love to see it out of the boys.
Yeah, no, it'd be cool. And to see a Seattle-Vegas potential like Western Conference final, that'd be fun as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to head to a quick commercial break. On the other side of that commercial break, I'm going to be talking about the old draft lottery. Light the lamp during the hockey playoffs with the DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can make a $5 bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. If you head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, head over to the NHL and Team Futures. There's some pretty good odds going on with three of the biggest favorites in this year's NHL Stanley Cup playoffs being eliminated early on. We now see the Maple Leafs sitting atop the NHL championship odds. You look at the Oilers next, the Dallas Stars, and Vegas. Those round out your top four. While you have the underdog Seattle Kraken sitting at plus 2,000. Some pretty good odds out there. Make sure to head over, check it out, and place whoever you think is going to win the Stanley Cup. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code THPN. New customers can make a $5 hockey playoff bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN, only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 800-327-5050. Or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for offer details. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Let's face it, with coffee starting at $5, yes, even without any customizations, and our bank account somehow always depleting, we are officially entering a dupe session. Most products do the same thing, but are priced differently solely based on the brand name. So a good duplicate, or dupe, is crucial for getting the highest quality at the best price. One dupe you definitely shouldn't sleep on, Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycon is premium audio at the perfect price point, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, without breaking the bank. With my student loans catching up to me, I head to Raycon.com. Raycon's mission is to prove that you shouldn't have to pay an arm and a leg for quality sound and essential smart tech listening features. You can get a pair and a spare and still pay less than you would with some of those more big-name tech brands out there. Raycon knows in this economy, every purchase needs to be perfect. They offer buy now, pay later options. Right now, you can pay as low as $18 at checkout. They have an easy and free return guarantee. They offer 2 years of product protection insurance for just a few bucks. They offer free domestic shipping and a flat fee international shipping. They have over 50,000 five-star reviews. My three favorite components of the Raycon earbud: the earbud's tap functions, noise isolation, and awareness mode. When I'm in the gym and my partner won't shut up, I just pop those bad boys into noise isolation and go to work. Go to buyraycon.com/THPN today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to score 15% off. Buyraycon.com/THPN. Shout out to our friends over at DraftKings and Raycon. Thanks so much for sponsoring the show. Chase, any bets on the sportsbook outside of the under when it comes to the New Jersey-Carolina series?
I do. And you know, I'm going to talk about the couple I've already placed, and then we're going to go over one together that, well, I'm going to mostly ask you for one, and then we're going to go with whatever you tell me. So a couple that I have placed, we'll start with, I've got Moneyline tonight. I've got Panthers and Oilers just combined. I got $25 on that. So, you know, we're looking for a Panthers sweep and then an Oilers, you know, even up the series. I got another interesting one, though. I bet first goal scorer parlay. Carter Verhaeghe for the Florida Panthers. Then Leon Draisaitl for the Edmonton Oilers. Comes out to plus 8,900. So we're going to be rooting way harder for that one. And then I also bet each of those guys individually. Just, you know, $5 a piece. Then I also threw this one out there just for the hell of it. You know, sprinkled $2.50 on it. Carter Verhaeghe, Leon Draisaitl parlayed together, both to have hat tricks. That was plus 35,550. So we're going to root for that one as well. Obviously that one's really unlikely, but it's the crazy thing is, you know, Leon Draisaitl's plus 1050 for that. So that means like, really, they're expecting Draisaitl to have a hat trick one out of every 10 games is what that's saying, like, mm-hmm. which is just wild that he's that good. And then the other one that I bet all together was Barkov anytime goal scorer, Florida Panthers winning, and then over 6.5 in that game. That was plus 425.
Okay. I like the Verhaeghe and Draisaitl first goals one. Draisaitl feels like the obvious one in that series. I mean, guy has been unreal this playoffs. I think what's he at, 13 goals? Something crazy like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And then Verhaeghe, a little bit more of an underrated pick, but it's one that makes sense. I mean, Verhaeghe has been so good this year. And so to see him score the first goal wouldn't shock me whatsoever. So I like those first goals.
Yeah, and remember, for Carter Verhaeghe, this is an elimination game. Toronto is the first team that just gave up on him, sent him over to Tampa. He had a good breakout year. Now he's in Florida having, you know, a very strong career. And Toronto's like, yeah, we're going to kick you to the curb. You're worth nothing to us. So he's like, all right, time to go sicko mode on these guys. And he's just going to rip them up.
There we go. And I hope he gets the hat trick, you know, helps out the bet and makes it look even better. But that one, it makes sense why it's got such high odds, him and Draisaitl both getting a hattie.
Yeah, like that's obviously wild. So here's what we're going to, or I'm going to have you pick for me. The correct score in the Edmonton-Vegas game, like picking the winner as well. So what winning team and what the correct score is going to be. Whatever you want. Just tell me what it is, and then I'm going with it.
Oh, boy. I'm on the spot. You know I've lost all my money in the sports book, right?
Yeah, well, we're gonna take a shot here.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you knew that before. Maybe put like 25 cents on it. All right.
Put a dollar.
Give me Edmonton 6-4.
6-4. Hell yes.
Gonna be a high scoring game.
Plus 4,500 odds. I've only got a dollar, so the dollar would pay out 46 if it hits, which it's my lucky number, 46. So huge. Sounds like it's gonna happen.
Huge. I hope it does. And then if it does, I might have to pop another $5 into the sports book. We'll see.
Oh, you'll absolutely have to. So you're going to be rooting. I'm going to be rooting heavy for this one. Like tonight, I'm going to celebrate so hard at every single goal.
There you go. All right. Landeskog, unfortunate news for him, but after some surgery, he's going to be out all next season.
Yeah, dude, it's been a tough couple of years for Gabriel Landeskog. You know, obviously it's great for him to, you know, he won the cup last year. That's like that. Obviously he got to win his first Stanley Cup, captain of the team. That was great. But then when it came to this season, you know, just horrible luck, didn't get to play in any games due to injuries. And now he's not good to play next year either. So two full seasons, no hockey games. Like that's terrible. That's, especially for someone who, you know, the sport's his passion. It's his life. He, you know, he's the leader of the team, not being able to be on the ice. It's really unfortunate. You know, I feel for Landeskog. It definitely does suck. So just hope he gets better soon.
Yeah. And I'm going to be honest, I did not know that he missed every single game this season. That's really tough.
It's just been horrible luck. Horrible luck.
And then looking since 2019, 2020, he hasn't played over 60 games. So he's definitely been struggling, but hoping all the best for him and his. It's a knee cartilage transplant. Is that right?
Yeah.
Hoping all the best for that and Landeskog, and hopefully he can get out there and stay out there sooner rather than later. But finally, let's talk about the NHL draft lottery. We had to, and I think both of us kind of feel like it might be a joke, but at the same time, like, there can be some skepticism. But I think we should at least talk about how many people are saying the NHL draft lottery is rigged.
Yeah, so we'll start off with the winner. In case you did not see, the Chicago Blackhawks have been awarded the first overall pick for the second time in franchise history. The last time they picked first overall, they selected a guy by the name of Patrick Kane.
He's all right.
Wanted to have some success. Wanted to have some success for that organization. And everybody but Chicago fans are up in arms. You know, if it were just the standard, the show went on like nothing crazy happened. Like, yeah, the people would be upset. Like, their own fan bases would be upset, but people wouldn't be, you know, rioting. People and teams in the playoffs wouldn't be saying anything. But sure enough, on the broadcast, you know, we get all the way through pick 16 or from pick 16 to pick 4. No movement at all. Not that surprising. Like, you know, the odds are like that it's going to be the top three teams kind of stay there. But there's always a chance someone moves. But no one moves, whatever. And then as going to commercial, you're still three. The top three teams based on order, it went Anaheim, Columbus, and then Chicago. So that was 1, 2, and 3. And then as we're going to commercial, Kevin Weeks goes, there you have it. With the first movement in the draft order, Chicago Blackhawks will be picking 1 or 2. And then it's like, wait, what? Yeah, and then it just cuts to commercial. Nothing was ever said about it on the broadcast. So now it's like, all right. Well, now did the NHL just leak the script here? Are they rigging this? They're rigging the shit. They let Patrick Kane walk and then immediately transition to another superstar. Like, what the hell is this all about? And so people were upset. I was upset. I would have much rather see him go to a team like the Red Wings or the Blue Jackets, not the Blackhawks. It's garbage that they really did not get penalized for all the sexual assault stuff they had going on. Like, there was no punishment at all. It was just absolute garbage. Like, Arizona gets draft picks stripped away for illegal workouts, but Chicago gets a little slap on the wrist for covering up crimes. It's an absolute joke, and now they get, you know, rewarded with the first overall pick. Is this the NHL trying to cover up all those, like, all that bad press allegations? I don't know. Kind of maybe feels like it.
I feel like it just brings it out more. And, I mean, you look at the New Jersey Devils and Ilya Kovalchuk and his contract that was completely legal at the time, and they got stripped of draft picks, didn't they, when he went and left for Russia?
Yeah, they did.
And, yeah, Chicago gets nothing. But I think it is funny because it could have been to try to cover that up, but Twitter, they were on it immediately. Kyle Beach was trending, and the Blackhawks obviously trending, but not in the way the NHL would have hoped. So it was not a good look there. And then also, when we came back from commercial, after Kevin Weeks said the Blackhawks would be picking 1 or 2, said Columbus had the third overall pick, Bill Daly then goes, good luck to our remaining three, Columbus, Chicago, and Anaheim. It's like, what do you mean, good luck? It was just announced. And sure enough, Columbus gets turned over at 3.
Both Bill Daly and Kevin Weeks, like, they struggled talking because they knew that, oh, yeah, we fucked up here. Like, Bill Daly, his voice was trembling a little bit. Kevin Weeks just kind of didn't spit words out. He was very quiet on the announcement of each pick after that. And then, sure enough, they flip over the Anaheim Ducks picking second, and their logo's just backwards. Like, just not that it matters that much. Just a little kick in the nuts. Like, yeah, you guys moved down, and we messed up your logo. You kick rocks. Just a little shit like that. So stupid. It really is disappointing. I'm tough day. Tough day.
Yeah, and as someone who's been in a production studio, thanks to my schooling, Kevin Weeks would have known that Columbus would be 3 before.
Yeah, for sure.
No shock there. So anyone saying that specifically is what the rigging of the draft lottery is, that's not the case. He would have known that. However, at the same time, I think it would have been so much cooler and would be so much cooler going in the future if we got live reactions on the broadcast, because I mean, you listen to live commentary, it's so much more exciting than, you know, scripted shit. So yeah. I would have liked to see something different, and hopefully, you know, it's not going to happen, but hopefully it changes. But I kind of understand why people are up in arms and think it could possibly be rigged, because moving on from Patrick Kane and immediately getting Connor Bedard, an original six franchise, it's a little weird.
It really is, and it's going to make me sick to my stomach seeing him in a Blackhawks jersey. God, I'm angry, dude. Like, Jay Fresh's poll that he put up, that, you know, day lottery draft, you get to go vote on a little Google form. And it was pick one team that you least want him to go to, or not one team, it was multiple teams that you're just like an absolute gross. And I picked Chicago, and then it was all the other question was, which team do you wholeheartedly think he is going to? And I picked Chicago because I just had a feeling this was going to happen. But sure enough, this happens, and now I just get to sit here angry for the next like 3 years until I finally just get over the fact that he's just going to carry Chicago to freaking, you know, the promised land once again.
Yeah, and I'm looking at his poll overall. Here's question number three, the one you were just referring to. Choose the teams that it would actively piss you off to see Connor Bedard end up on. 3,700 people answered, nearly 4,000 people, and it was a runaway. Chicago was 62%. The closest to them was Montreal at only 32%. So no one outside of Chicago is happy about this situation. And I just don't know if it is rigged. Why can't we build up other markets? I mean, Chicago can stand on its own as an original six franchise, as a multi-time Stanley Cup winner in this decade, or maybe not decade, this century. Why can't they stand on their own merit and have Connor Bedard go build up the Columbus Blue Jackets or go build up another franchise?
I agree, man. And I really think Columbus was the best fit for him in terms of, like, not just for him being the face of a franchise that would happen almost anywhere, but also them being able to promote a franchise that really has not done anything. They had one superstar in Rick Nash, and like his career's kind of cut short, and, you know, the injury and stuff, he never got to fully live up to his true potential. It would have been a great fit, but instead, you know, he's going to Chicago. It's going to keep that, you know, franchise alive and prospering again. And we're going to see, you know, the markets like Columbus and Arizona just kind of be left in the dust.
Yeah, and let us know your thoughts on Connor Bedard heading to the Chicago Blackhawks. At Bolts Broadcast on Twitter, feel free to send us a tweet there letting us know your thoughts about it. I'd be surprised if there's people out there that are listening to this show that are happy about it. But I'd be interested to see for sure. Let's move on to Hockey Name of the Day, the final segment of the show. And this does not look very fun. We've got Pangea. Can I just say Pangea?
I don't think you can say that, no.
Panagiotis Mavritis. That's like a disease, Mavritis.
So Panayiotis.
Okay.
Mavritis. Panayiotis Mavritis. And our boy, as he gets called, on league prospects, aka is Panos, whatever that part is, I'm not sure, but he is a 19, soon to be 20-year-old Greek. So born in Greece, Greek content producer, actually. He's on some Canadian like radio show or like in Ontario, but he is going to be playing for Greece in the 23-24 Latin America Cup, as well as be the general manager of the team. Oh. So he's managing the team as well as playing for the team at 19 years old. And he's this like radio show host. And I don't remember if it was him or somebody else, like, they had a screenshot of the elite prospects trending, like a little graphic, and they said, let's see if we can get our boy Panos trending on elite prospects. And sure enough, he was the second trending player as when I last checked, and his profile has right now 13,478 views when it probably had all of like 30 the day before.
I just went to elite prospects and I see him right here. That's gotta be one of the cooler stories we've heard on Hockey Name of the Day. A 19-year-old that is going to be the GM and player for Greece after being a content creator. That is something.
Yeah, it really is.
All right. Well, that's going to do it with the show. I want to thank you so much for coming out and giving it a listen. Chase, if you could, hit him with an outro.
As always, I want to thank you guys for listening. Follow us on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast, at Bolts Broadcast. Follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. It's at HockeyPodNet. While you're at it, go follow WNP on Twitter at WNP Sports Pod. It's WNP Sports Pod. Make sure to go to thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. You can find all the pods in the network right there. Boom, click the logo. That's an easy peasy lemon squeezy. Wherever you're listening, rate us 5 stars. Thanks for questions, comments, concerns. We'd appreciate it. Do not forget to support our friends over at DraftKings and Raycon.
Thanks so much for stopping by. We'll talk to you next time.